are, I think, three kinds of presents, particularly at Christmas, but birthdays and other times, three kinds of presents. One is the one you want, then there's the type that you need, and there's the type that you smile politely. So the type you want, well, we've just been talking to some children, and obviously someone wants Lego Star Wars, so there's time to still do something about that, but Lego Star Wars or something fun. Grown-ups have their fun toys as well, wine or something, that's not a hint, but Ryoka's on special offer in Tesco at the moment, or a need, something for your drill or something like that. Drills are quite fun, aren't they? But something that you need, something that's useful in the house, and then something you just smile politely. You know, we're talking novelty soap and that kind of thing. Josiah had a toy that used to be mine that was a truck with compartments on it. It looks quite cool, really. Apart from it was given to me by my auntie when I was 14. And I'd stopped playing with trucks by then. I heard of a story of a couple who used to give one another gifts, as you'd expect a married couple to do. And apparently he would give her what he thought a woman would want. Luxury gifts that make her feel special. So that was things like designer perfume, jewellery, things like that. Special, unnecessary gifts to say, you're special to me. And she would buy him what she considered proper bloke gifts. So we're talking hammers, drills, anything made by Bosch. This makes you feel like a man. What they were actually doing is giving each other what they wanted. And by that, what it turned out was that she wanted practical things. And when he pushed her, she said things like kitchen appliances, a whisk. And he's thinking, I thought I'd be taking my life into my hands by giving you a present like that. But no, that's what she wanted, something for the kitchen. What he wanted is designer aftershave and trendy silk shirts. They were giving each other what they really wanted themselves. What we give, when we give a gift, is it says something about what do we think about that other person, and sometimes it says something about ourselves. On my 18th birthday, a friend of mine bought me a packet of, I think they were quite expensive, cigars, which you might think is thoughtful, apart from I don't smoke. And so I opened them and went, oh, cigars, and he went, I don't mind if I do. And it says something about both of us. The reading, we have three gifts from wise men. Now, often in the Bible, especially in the Gospels, people speak or act better than they know. So here we have gifts and givers that tell us a lot about the baby they are giving to. And it shows us about Jesus' identity and his mission, what he's come to do. So we're going to look just quickly at the gifts and the givers. So the first thing are the gifts. Now we've agreed already, these are bad gifts for a baby, apart from their cash value. You could buy a lot of Star Wars Lego for these. They're all very expensive. They are gifts for a king, in fact. And for each gift goes up in value, apparently. So the first one is gold. Well, we know about gold. It's expensive. You don't want to overdo gold if you're wearing it. Makes you look like you're making a bit of a statement. But special things we do in gold. My wedding ring is in gold, a gold medal. Special things are in gold. And in the Bible, we associate kings and ruling with gold. And we'll come back to that. The next one is frankincense. Now, apparently this is a resin from a particular kind of tree. And it's associated with God and with worship of God. They would burn it in the temple by a priest. And it points towards Jesus' role as a go-between. So Jesus has a job. Jesus will represent the people to God and God to the people. And as Matthew goes on, the readings from Matthew, as he goes on to talk about all of Jesus' life, and in the other Christmas readings, we see that Jesus' mission is to reconnect people with God. People and God have the relationship is broken and Jesus reconnects them. And elsewhere, it talks about Jesus as God and man at the same time. He's the God-man, and Jesus is God with us, the Emmanuel. You often see in carols, Emmanuel, and that just is a Hebrew word that means God with us. And the last gift is this myrrh, which can be an oil or a resin. That's from an even rarer tree that would have been further from where Jesus lived. It was the most expensive of all these three items. And it was used to embalm kings before burial. Now imagine again, we've got a small child with us here. Or imagine a newborn baby and friends come round and they bring a teddy and something that rattles and maybe some baby grows and all the things you do when someone has a baby. And another comes in and says, I hope you don't mind. I really pushed the boat out. I've spent a couple of £1,000 on the present and brings in a coffin. And when everyone looks confused, they say, he'll need it when he's older. That would be considered inappropriate, I think, in most circumstances. But that's what these wise men do. It's a very odd present. But it's a central part of Jesus' mission is to die. And many of the typical readings we read at Christmas hint that Jesus has come to go to the cross. It's not incidental. It's not, this is the beginning bit of the story, and he goes on, sadly, at the end he dies. That is the point of why he comes. He is born to die. It's a central idea of Christmas, central idea of Christianity, that Christmas already flags up on points towards Good Friday and Easter. It is how Jesus becomes the go-between. God is the King of the universe, and Jesus has come to be his King on earth, and we don't always like that idea. So we reject it as if it was a preference we had. So we are rebels, we are traitors that deserve from God death. We don't want to know God, and he respects our wishes, which means excluded from the king's good land forever. But Jesus, the king himself, died in our place as if he were the rebel or the traitor. Our penalty's then gone. He's substituted. He goes in our place. And that's how he becomes the go-between. So the presents identify who Jesus is and what he will do. The ruler, the go-between, the substitute. Let's think about these givers. And we know the song, We Three Kings. But when we come to the one passage in the Bible that mentions them, the first thing we notice is they're not kings. The translation we got here says wise men. The word is magi. And we're not sure where they're from, other than east of where Jesus is from. So people have suggested Persia or India or China. We don't know. It's a mystery. I think that's part of the point, that it is mysterious. How many of them are there? I deliberately, on Google Images, went for a picture that didn't have three, but had lots. We don't know. It could have been a crowd. It could have been two. It doesn't say there were three. It just says there are three gifts. But what it does say, in verse 2 of the reading, they say, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. King of the Jews. It's an Old Testament promise. The whole Old Testament, the whole Jewish religion has been pointed to this moment, that God has promised a very special king to be born, and he's an answer to Israel's prayers and the world's problems. But notice the significance. He's not just the Jews' king, or religious people's king, or Christians' king. These very mysterious men from far away, he's their king too. And a repeated claim by Jesus himself is that he's king over all. All people, all places, all times. If Jesus is anything other, when you look at what he says, he is just nuts. The things that Jesus says, he is just mad, unless that's true. So this is the issue when they arrive. Herod and Jerusalem don't want this king. They're happy with everything as it is. And if you read on beyond the reading we heard, it's quite a disturbing event of the lengths Herod goes to make sure Jesus doesn't become king. So the story is not really about three kings at all. It's about two kings, Herod and Jesus. And it is today, you and Jesus. There is one throne in your heart, and yet there are two kings that claim it, you and Jesus. And who will sit on that throne? Matthew repeatedly has this, it's quite funny at times, this thing that goes through his gospel, of those who should get it don't, and those who don't get it do. Those who shouldn't get it do. And so it is here, the Jewish establishment in Jerusalem, including the religious experts, don't get it. And foreigners from different religious backgrounds do. And look at why they come in verse 2, to worship. English word comes from worship. It literally means to bow down. It's to say to a king, I recognize your place and your role, your authority, that you're the king and I'm not the king. And here they come with this sort of awe and wonder that this is a good thing, this is a privilege, and to marvel at it. And hence they're precious, albeit quite weird, gifts. You see, they're not too much, not for this baby, not given his status and what he'll do. He is worth it. So at Christmas, there's lots going on, but the central character is Jesus. So what will your response be to him? Would it be like Herod and the religious people, or these wise men? Will you be a wise man and seek him out? Bring something costly to him that shows some kind of understanding of his significance. And that's where the very idea of presents at Christmas comes from. What would be significant for you? What would be costly for you that shows that you've understood this? Your time? You. Worship. What is that? What is saying? Who does he think he is? God? Well, that's exactly who he is. It's simply saying, I'm just me and you're king of all things. And I bow down. I fit around you. Imagine a visit from our queen. Some people have the queen show up at an organisation or get called to Buckingham Palace for something. But imagine she comes to your house. Could you imagine then going, hang on, Liz, I'll be with you in a tick. Or, actually, it's not great timing. I'm getting my hair done. Could you come next Wednesday? I'm guessing not if she turned up. Well, how much more when God comes? And the message of Christmas is he has come. And what will you do? The gifts and the givers are the clues. Jesus is God's gift to us. And the question is, will you receive? He is the king. He will rule. He is good and kind. He's not self-seeking. He loves us into submitting to him, not beats us into submitting to him. And despite ignoring him, he's the go-between that dies for us. So we should come and worship, recognize who he is, and receive God's great gift of Jesus, and therefore what he brings, eternal life. Now, if you want to find more about that, we can do that here at this church. There's the remaining Christmas services I've mentioned. There's regular services in the new year. Around about February time, we'll do a course called Christianity Explored. There's some things about that around. There's also some booklets around. There's a couple that I think this one is usually a couple of pounds. Today, for you, 20 pence. This one, £5. Today, for you, £1. If you don't have any money with me, we can come to an arrangement. I'm from Essex. This is Essex. We can do that. So we can find, this tells you a bit more about why it matters that Jesus came. And we have various children's groups and activities through the year as well. I'm going to pray. I don't usually do this, but I have put on the screen what I'm going to say in the prayer. I'll read it to you. And if you think this is a prayer for you as well, then echo it silently in your heart and do talk to someone afterwards about it. So what I'll pray is, Heavenly Father, I have been ignoring you, and I'm sorry about that. Now I want to serve you. Please help me. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. Please forgive me. Please come and be king over me. Amen. So I'm going to say that now, so you can read it or bow your head or whatever you'd like to do. Heavenly Father, I have been ignoring you, and I am sorry about that. Now I want to serve you. Please help me. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. Please forgive me. Please come and be king over me. Amen.